Hello, once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Yesterday, President Barack Obama's campaign and the Democratic Party said they raised $71 million in the month of June, well below the $100 million hauled in by rival Mitt Romney and the Republicans. Obama campaign officials have warned the fundraising deficit could harm the president's chances of winning re-election. Also, in an interview yesterday with Karen DeWitt, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo reaffirmed his campaign vow to establish a system of public financing for state office races in New York, a goal long sought by the state's good government advocates. Today, we want your take on the latest presidential campaign funding numbers and campaign finance in general. Can Obama pick up the fundraising pace in time for November? How have super PACs played a role in the race thus far? Can Governor Cuomo push through a campaign finance system that's supported by both legislators and advocacy groups? Answer, no. To be part of today's conversation, give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. Again, that's 1-800-348-2551. Want to hear from you? Let me read you something that somebody just put down in front of me. Washington AP, a senior Obama campaign advisor, says the campaign is concerned about the role of super PACs in bankrolling Mitt Romney's challenge. David Plouffe told ABC's Good Morning America that Romney's supporters want to buy the White House for him. Yesterday, the campaign released fundraising numbers that showed Romney outpacing Obama for the second straight month. So, to which I say, duh. I mean, what? You think the Republicans don't have more money than the Democrats do and that people won't give all of that money? But, you know, the Democrats have been somewhat dispirited. Some of the people on the left feel, well, you know, this isn't what I had expected. But, in fact, I keep thinking, I have this recurring dream. Romney wins, which, by the way, he has a very, very good chance of doing. Romney wins. Into all of this comes, a Democratic Senate with, a Republican Senate with him, a Republican Supreme Court, a Republican president, a Republican House, and you could wave goodbye to Social Security as we know it, to Medicare as we know it. And how do we know that? What am I making this up? Because they vote that way already in the House and to health care. So there you are. 1-800-348-2551. How insidious is the role of money? And can the Obama people use the fact that, you know, they're running second here to actually help them? Because I think it's clear that they will be helped if people get worried enough about the consequences. Okay, so let's go to Don in Great Barrington. Hello, Donald. Welcome back.
Thank you, Alan. Hello. I'm reminded in this terribly suspicious political climate of the old saying, I don't know who dreamed it up, about we're a nation of sheep. And the powers that be seem to be leading us around with one thing after another. Right now, it's the subject for today, who's spending the most money? It's not sports. It's not where, you know, you spend the most money, you're going to get the best players. It's a matter of issues, and the issues are taking a back seat right now to this issue of...
No, I think, Don, if I may interrupt for a second, I think you're exactly right. I think, in other words, this stuff has to be packaged in such a way that people can understand it. And the media loves it. The simpler, the better. And this is a horse race. That's exactly right. Except that it's good for... the question is, who's it good for? It's good for Romney because it shows that he's doing well. It's excellent for Obama, in my mind, because it wakes people up and says, hey, maybe I can only do $25 or $100, because that's the way Obama won in the last election. He's lost some of that fire, and that has to be reignited. I think that that's right. Donald, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551. And let's go to, how about Sharon or Shan? Shan. Okay, in Brunswick. All right, Shan, you're on. Go ahead.
Howdy, Alan. Thank you. It's a good topic. And I'm going to do something and join that with the announcement or the speech I've heard, or Mr. Cuomo, saying that it's an evolution that we're having here around the bullying. It's an evolution we need to have, a psychological one as a species, because capitalism and democracy without a unifying force is violence, as we're observing. And yeah, we've been bought and sold. And it's a harsh thing, but that's the way nature is. It's a gestation. And, you know, we don't change to earn enough pain. And I think
that's an interesting point. An interesting point. We don't change until we're in enough pain. You may well be right. So where does that leave us right now in terms of this election?
Using, and I'm sorry to do this to your friend, but I really don't appreciate that you seem to come across with a very harsh thing. Well, Obama is not, you know, he has a hard time. He may not make it. It's going to be a very, remember back when, a very tight election. It's like a branding, like Obamacare. No, it's not. It's the Affordable Health Act.
Yeah, but I don't get it. In other words, am I wrong? You think that I'm wrong that he won't win?
Well, that you know what? I'm going to put this a nice thing around it. The term liberal is pejorative. The term conservative is pejorative. Yeah. We've been branded left and right. You know, you don't want to be left out. That's what we are. We're the left behind. We're liberal with our humors, with our compassion, with our empathy. We're not conservative with that. And so, you know, the idea of saying, well, wait a minute, maybe I would not spin it in a liberal manner. You know, we're saying, I don't mean to drag on you the idea that I really was kind of off sex. Like, come on, man, is he on your team? Do you want to make it sound like your team isn't, you know, in a disadvantaged place? You know, you can put it into many out. I don't want to mind your spin being different than mine.
I thank you for your sharing your thoughts with us, Shan. Thanks an awful lot. 1-800-348-2551. Your chances of getting in right now are 100%. The other point about this is that we have a situation where money now talks. And I happen to believe that what happens is that the playing field gets shifted. This playing field got shifted when the Supreme Court, in one of the worst decisions ever, in Citizens United, turned around and moved the playing field. I was talking to my students yesterday morning and I was saying, you know, every once in a while, when you think you're catching up, somebody does something to change the rules. Imagine a baseball game, I say, that all of a sudden they say, you know, there's four strikes when your team is up. And that is exactly what Citizens United did. It changed the playing field so that all the money of the people who had the most money would be acceptable and would be part of the game. So the rules got changed. Let's go to James in Monroe and see what he thinks. Okay, James, 1-800-348-2551. Go ahead, James.
Well, the way I see it is people are going to become educated very hard if the Republicans do and do what you say, and it looks like that could be the case.
Wait a second. See if I understand this. So are you saying, James, that when I said just a second ago, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but when I said just a second ago that if the Republicans win the House, the Senate, and the Senate by a big enough number, the presidency, they have the Supreme Court, they will change Social Security as we know it. Is that what you mean?
Well, yeah, and the other stuff, too, I'm saying if they win, the people... The common people, especially the people who depend on everything, are going to become educated. It might look like it'd be too late, but you know what's going to happen? In my view, it's going to become like Europe, where we have nationwide strikes and disobedience. It's not going to be...
James, what makes you think that? There's never been any signs of that in contemporary America. Have there?
Well, you know, right now we haven't had our freedom... threatened as much as it is now.
Well, the Occupy movement had some promise in the beginning, but they went away, didn't they?
Yeah, that's the problem. But what I'm saying is, if what happens comes true, what you say that could come true, say it does come true. I'm a Democrat, and I'm not for it. But I'm saying if it does come true, there will be major problems in this country. It will become
okay.
Like Europe.
Okay, you're coming around for the second time. As you know, the rule is the second time, and you're gone. And James, thank you so much for the wonderful call. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah. And very quickly to Jack in Rhinebeck. Jack in Rhinebeck, you're on.
It seems that the hurt isn't hurt enough, Alan. It seems that we just are sitting back and complaining about what's going on. What the heck does it take to mobilize the American people to march on Washington and walk up the steps of Congress and pull their pants down?
Okay, answer Answer, first of all, keep it clean, and second of all, answer your own question. What does it take?
Well, you tell me. All I hear is complaining. I'm willing to march on Washington. Is there somebody who wants to raise that flag? No, because we're all content. We have two cars. We eat everything. We eat our dinners. We eat our lunch and our breakfast. We watch TV. We listen to these people haranguing us, these demigods. And that's it. We sit back and take it. Well, I don't take it. I can't take it.
Did you mean demi? Did you mean, Jack, did you mean demigods or demigods?
Demi, you heard me. You know the right word.
Okay. Hey, Jack, thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
Yeah. 1-800-348-2551 if your name is Paul or Ann or John. You stay right there, and we'll be right back after a few seconds in a break.
Support for WAMC comes from Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York. Women-owned and operated with a combined 70 years' experience. Eye exams by appointment, 518-459-2638. Buckley Beef, Valley Falls, New York. Providing all-natural grass-fed beef, steaks, hamburger, and sausage. Available at Greengrocer, Clifton Park, buckleybeef.com. Tanglewood. Anne-Sophie Mutter joins BSO as conductor and violinist in an all-Mozart program, July 13th, tanglewood.org. Eagle Hill School, Hardwick, Massachusetts. A college prep boarding and day school for students in grades 8 through 12 with learning disabilities, dyslexia, ADD, and ADHD, EHS1.org. And Hudson Valley Mold Remediation, providing mold inspection and removal to homeowners and businesses in Ulster, Sullivan, Green, Orange, and Rockland counties, HVMoldRemediation.com.
Well, there you go. Let us go to Paul in Ackard. Okay. Paul in Ackard, where everybody drives a foreign car and plays a musical instrument. Go ahead.
You're actually not far from the truth in both those regards. A couple of weeks ago, NPR News started using the term social welfare organizations. And I laughed out loud at the doublespeak nature of that. You know, most of us who think know that it's quite the opposite of our social welfare, what these Karl Rove organizations and the Koch brothers, et cetera.
Oh, think that's who they were referring to as opposed to, organizations, voluntary organizations on the left?
Ah, come on, Alan.
No, I'm not. I'm serious. I mean, I didn't hear it, and I just wondered when I hear social welfare organization, I think of some group that is, a progressive group that's on the left. But
exactly. Yeah. That's what you would think. Yeah. However, NPR was referring to organizations like Karl Rove's Crossroads outfit.
Really?
And others. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was in the context that they... it was connected to the two concepts.
Okay, so
and I'm just wondering why nobody has called that out as doublespeak.
Well, first you got to hear it. I didn't, and if it is as you describe it, terrible. Hey, Paul, thanks for the call. Appreciate it,
okay,
and I appreciate you pointing it out. Bye.
All right.
Let's go to Ann in Lee. Okay, Ann in Lee, you got one free phone up there, folks. Go ahead, Ann.
Well, what the other guy said.
Yeah, what the other guy said. Go ahead.
Well, one, the man was talking about why people don't go on march in Washington.
Yeah.
And I would say that one of the reasons is a sense that there's no purpose anymore. You know, with the corporations now funneling money into the elections and, into the advertising and Karl Rove's and all those guys just spewing lies all the time, not even doublespeak, but lies. You just have the sense that there's no way to fight that.
Okay, but let's wait for just a second. In Egypt, some of these other places, people come out and they risk getting shot, right? I mean, they risk getting shot from the troops and the rest of it. Here we say, there's no sense in it. Oh, woe is me.
We've gotten a little complacent, I guess.
Yeah. So I mean, is it really that somebody called up before and said, "Hey, you know what it's really all about is we have two cars and we got pretty much what we want and nobody's gonna start up about that."
It you know, we don't all have those things. And actually, a lot of the people who don't have those things are the ones who are who buy a lot of the talk, you know, about jobs, you know, that, you know. Well, okay, but the reason I called is I wanted to just discuss the environmental issues. You know, everything, we have second chances on a lot of things, but we really can't keep destroying the environment. And this money that is being funneled into the election, and certainly if a we get another Republican president, our environment is screwed. I mean, we're just like in really big trouble. We'll have pipelines going all over the country. We'll be, you know, it's, will be all about jobs.
Okay, and let me stop you and ask you a question. Is it not so then that what you're saying is, here's all this money that's going into politics, and it's coming in. Do people consider not only about the environment, but in general, Social Security, Medicare, that kind of thing, the consequences, or are they oblivious to the consequences?
Well, I think that people don't understand the consequences of the environmental issues. I think when, you know, you have these people talking about jobs, they're not thinking about the fact that tons of jobs could be created if we change the way we do things and if we stop destroying the environment, if we do bike paths, if we start, you know, getting public transportation, start having gardens.
Photovoltaics and the rest.
Yeah, gardens in everybody's yard. I mean,
what about wind power?
Yeah, well, wind power, you know, I don't think with the Lenox Mountain, you can't destroy natural environment.
Well,
and say that it's okay to do that for wind power.
Okay.
Because that's, you know, we don't have that much left.
Okay, but not in your backyard.
Well, you know, I actually have some land, and if they could, they wanted to do it in my backyard, you know, we could talk about it.
And you're terrific, and I thank you for the call.
Okay.
And you make profound points.
But, you know, the environment, we just don't have another chance with a Republican. We didn't have it last time with the second Bush, but we really don't have it now.
And thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah. We'll go to John in Saratoga now. John, you're on. Go ahead.
Yes, hi, Alan. Can you hear me? I'm in my car with a cell phone.
I can hear you very well. I hope you're driving with hands-free, right?
No, not driving, parked.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
All right. To the point of your show, which is the imbalance, the amount of money being contributed, the other night on Rachel Maddow, she had Harvey Weinstein on as a guest, who was a major film producer and also a fundraiser for Obama.
Indeed.
And she posed the question to him, was he concerned about the, you know, the imbalance and the huge amount of money going to the Republicans? And he had a great answer. He said, years ago, when Ford Motor produced the Edsel, it didn't matter how much money they put behind promoting it. It was an abject failure. And he said, and that's because it was deficient. And then he referred to Romney, and he said, he's a deficient candidate. It doesn't matter how much money you keep on throwing at this. And it's not like Obama doesn't have a lot of money. There still is.
But wait, John. Let's go over some of that with you and talk about it. Here's my problem with it. You take a bunch of filmmakers and they put George Romney coming through a lily field with with his kids behind him and his wife's hair flowing in the breeze and his tie loosened and his dog jumping up next to him, and you put it on the air 1,000 times a day till you can't stand looking at the guy walking through the lily fields anymore. Or you repeat the lie again and again and again, and you say it's all about jobs, and if we give the richest people in America the money, they'll trickle it right down to you and you'll have a job. And you say that again and again and again, and we've seen it happen. We've seen it with Limbaugh, we've seen it with healthcare, we've seen it again and again. I don't agree with Weinstein. I think he's right to say it because it sounds attractive, and it's a good sort of mildly left position. Nevertheless, I don't believe it. I believe if you have the money, you use it, and you use it to propagandize people.
Yeah, well, I don't think he meant to ignore it. you know. Mm-hmm. But I think he meant to mitigate the effect of it. I mean, you may be right. In November, we're going to know. But the bottom line is that...
Don't get me wrong. I hope I'm not right. Go ahead.
I hope you're wrong, too. But as far as people being swayed by, you know, I do understand that. You know, you get a constant barrage of negative or lies or whatever. People tend to vote, a lot of people, I think. They're not even tuned in to what's going on now. Where was it? 47% of the people didn't even know about the health care law.
47%, 53% or something like that don't even vote in the election. And
yeah,
let me tell
yeah.
you, if everybody voted in the election, if everybody voted in the election, there's no question who would win. No question.
Yeah. But the problem that I see, and it's not my term, but it's a bumper sticker election. And whoever has the shortest, most memorable bumper sticker, you know, and I understand that. You know, you're driving on the highway,
stickers cost money.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm not in disagreement with the amount of money making a difference. I think it's a horrible crime that the Supreme Court did. And you know, if you wind up with a Republican president, Republican Congress on both sides, they're never going to change that. The only thing is that sometimes you get what you wish for. And if you had 4 years of all of that, I think at the end of 4 years, there would be a revolt. I mean, from the way that they're talking, it would be a swing to the religious right, serious swing that way. That would take women's health issues back a century. I mean, there would be really bad things if it all happened that way. If, let's say that you had a Republican president, Romney, and you have a Democratic Senate still,
yep.
and then the House. Or at least there's some checks and balances. So, you know, the Democrats can do what the Republicans did this time around and really screw up bills that the Republicans would want to put through. But it would be a go-nowhere Congress yet again.
Yeah. Hey, John, I think you've made a lot of good points. I hope you understand that Ron and Bonnie and Beth and Rick are all behind you, and we want to give them a shot, okay?
I do. Thanks for the shot.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye now.
That leaves one free phone, 1-800-348-2551. Ron in Pownall, Vermont. Okay, Ron, you're on.
Thank you, Doctor. Just a simple thing. I wish they would take and report the number of donors as opposed to the number of dollars.
Well, that's a good point.
Because if Cokie Roberts would get off her high horse enough and say to the American public, there are so many people backing Barack Obama, even though their pockets aren't deep, there are this many, as opposed to how much Romney is making. Because there's definitely the Republicans are backing him, and the reason for it is they'll invest $1 million for a tax donation for, you know, to elect the president, as opposed to paying their fair share of taxes with a Democrat. That's the reality.
Okay, and but a lot of people who've called Ron have made the point, I think, which is a good one, that people don't understand the consequences. You're talking about a consequence, a single consequence in the case of the tax bills. But what is it that prevents people from thinking about this stuff?
The unfortunate thing is, as a caller before, it's apathy. Until it hits them, you know, as the old saying, until they come for you and they look around and there's no one left. And that's what's happening, unfortunately.
Ron, thank you very much for the call. Makes a lot of sense. Appreciate
you're
it.
You're welcome.
Okay. Let's go to Bonnie in Sharon, Connecticut. Bonnie, you're on.
Hello. Long time no hear from, or I call you. Anyway, this is the point.
Yeah.
This last Sunday, there was in the front page of the Times an article about how advertising has co-opted the basic thrust of Occupy Wall Street for advertising purposes.
What do you mean? I'm sorry, I don't get it.
Okay, basically advertisement in which, like, people stand up at their desk and go, I'm going to lunch. In other words, taking their rights and turning it into go to lunch and have this such and such burger or such and such crusted chicken or whatever, and it turns out to be a food ad. And basically taking the thrust and the energy and the populism.
So you think that's why Occupy Wall Street collapsed?
No, but what I'm saying is it's indicative of what the corporate response to Occupy Wall Street is. Let's basically undermine it by turning it into a message for us.
Well, do you think that that's really what they were doing, or do you think they were just turning it into a message for us, period, which they would do with anything?
Well, by us, I mean us as a corporation.
No, I understand.
Okay.
I understand.
So the impression that I get is that were it not for Occupy Wall Street, these particular ads would not exist.
Hey, Bonnie, it's something to chew on. Again, because Beth and Rick and Ruthie and Ian
Go
are
ahead.
All waiting.
I understand.
Give them a shout. Okay, thanks
okay,
very
bye.
Much. Yeah, bye. Okay, on to Beth in Schenectady. Beth in Schenectady, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for playing my comment last Friday. I wanted to, in being very polite to that Ann person who called in, and I do mean this in as polite a way as I can. Obama.
Well, how can you? I mean,
okay,
how?
Okay, I'm trying. Okay, Obama allowed for the Keystone Pipeline from Nebraska to Texas.
All
so
right.
The issue with this two-party system now, and I hate myself for saying this, is that they are just corporate companies. They are just big business, and they just couch their opinion with very expensive writing.
Okay, but let me ask you a question. Do you see a difference between the Democrats and the Republicans? Because I sure do.
I don't, and I used to volunteer for the Democratic Party. I've been researching and reading as much as I can, they are slicker. The Democrats say it nicer. They are the group, the people that say, oh, the man in the back room said I can't do this.
Okay, Beth, but let me ask you this. And I do apologize for interrupting.
That's all right.
But are you telling me that if Medicare is abolished as we know it, if Social Security is abolished and given to the insurance companies?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because going forward, the health care law decreases. It does not increase Medicare and Medicaid.
Well, you know, you and I agree on one thing, and we seldom agree, but we agree on one thing, and that is that I believe that if they had done universal health care, there would have been a better spirit of inclusion. It would have been easier to understand, and even if they didn't get it, they wouldn't be facing the kind of left-wing malaise that they've got from their base.
If you let me finish this one thing,
sure,
going forward, calling to one of your competitors, because I can't control myself when I have free time, and I got to speak to Donna Shilling. Layla, you know what she said about that?
What?
She said that the Democrats couldn't stomach it. That's your big Democrat there, saying they could not stomach the idea of universal health care.
Well, that's because they thought they wouldn't get it.
Well, can you imagine? What a slap.
Well, first of all, I agree with you. If that is indeed what she said, because I didn't hear.
That is what she said.
I didn't hear it. But let's just assume she said it. Individuals have a right to be stupid.
Yeah, but not when you're running the country with other people's nickel.
I don't know that she's running the country. She may be running a university, but she ain't running the country. And maybe that's why she's not in the cabinet. Hey, Beth, thank you for calling. Appreciate it. It's always a joy to hear from you. Appreciate it.
Yep, bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Let's go to Rick in Albany. Rick in Albany, you're on.
How are you doing, doctor?
Well,
I'm sorry. You just made me laugh, and I lost all control. And I'm actually very angry. With a capital P, about things that are going on.
What do you mean angry with a capital P? Where's the P in angry?
It's somewhere in there. But anyway, on occasion, you know, I don't listen to just AMC, but, you know, I learn an awful lot from your station.
You mean our station, don't you, Rick?
Yes, I meant our
station. Yeah, right. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. And, I do believe that. At 1 o'clock, you run the alternative radio shows that are extremely educational, especially on corporate law. I've heard some that have just stuck with me. And, you know, the Supreme Court ruling that the corporations are people,
citizens,
is the complete opposite of what our forefathers intended. This is something that has been disturbing me for a long time, because indeed, as at 1 o'clock today, the gentleman was talking about how the corporations pretty much run our country.
Well, a lot of people believe that. So how do you make that better, Rick? Because there's so many people waiting. Let's cut to the chase.
I think we we do have to step up and be responsible. And you know, we do have to.
Yeah, but how do we make that happen?
I'd be very interested in the case of our radio station.
Yeah.
I think that at prime time, it would be interesting to run some of this educational material.
Okay.
And I don't consider it propaganda. Propaganda to me is like Hennessy, Rush Limbaugh, who I listen to all those guys.
But they say that this is propaganda. They say that other people are propaganda, right?
Well, they did. My favorite label was that we are red diaper, dope smoking illiterates.
And I never smoked dope. Thanks, Rick. Appreciate it. 1-800-348-2551. Take a very short break, and then we'll come back to Ruthie and Ian and Brian and Beth and whoever's next on that line number one.
Support for WAMC comes from Mass MoCA, North Adams, Massachusetts. With galleries open every day from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and schedule of live events, massmoca.org. Brattleboro, Vermont, offering a wide variety of recreational and cultural activities in a small-town New England setting, brattleborochamber.org. Yoga Great Barrington, featuring 7 instructors with daily and monthly classes, plus private sessions in various styles and levels, yogagb.com. Windy Hill Farm Orchard Nursery and Garden Shop, Route 7, Great Barrington, featuring pick-your-own and fresh-picked blueberries from Windy Hill's fields, windyhillfarminc.com. An Ichiban Japanese and Chinese restaurant, Albany, serving hibachi dinners, sushi, sashimi, curry soups, Thai, and entrees, offering daily specials, 518-432-0358.
And a huge thanks to our wonderful underwriters. I always love hearing that. That's the only way we're going to keep this station going, I'll tell you right now. That and you. Let's go to Ruthie in Warwick, New York. Hiya, Ruthie. How you doing?
Hi. How are you? I'm glad I got on. I had to call 411.
And you know, one of the reasons I keep, when I say to somebody, you know, let's give Ruthie and Ian and Brian and Beth and Howard a chance, is to give you the sustenance to stay in there and know we're going to get to you. Go ahead,
Thank
Ruthie.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm very interested in the questions that you ask. What does it look like? What do we do? What does change look like? What is your solution? And when I perked up listening on my car ride home, one of your callers said, why aren't we marching on Washington? And each one of the conversations sort of tie into the next. Well, Egyptians risk being shot. There's something focused. They were going to overthrow and remove the person in power. We've had the civil rights marches. We've had apartheid. There were very focused issues. And right now, do we march against lies? Do we march against corporations being called human entities? Do we march? What is our specific common goal? Because right now, what has to happen, you know, my answer to you would be, we have a discourse. We are informed at various levels. It's action. And what happened to the Occupy movement, maybe, I haven't heard a lot of discussion about that, was there wasn't a focus. There was feeling. But what is the focus? Is the focus to create a political organization? Is the focus to march on Washington? So I was really interested in what he said about marching on Washington, because I actually believe that from the feeling and the discourse, the reasonable, I wouldn't say that it's a solution, but I do believe it would affect change, is if a million people marched on Washington. And to do that, we have to have a focused, we could pick one single thing, but who is the we? Which of the organizations and which individual is going to pick that march on?
Ruthie, what would you do? In other words, if you had to pick one out that could unite people, what would it be?
Well, I would do just what I do in my life. I have a lot of different interests. I have to have a goal, and I have to pick one of those interests to meet that goal. If I have many, many different interests and I try to share my time, I won't affect anything. At this point, there are so many different things that we can do. We can be divided and conquered, or we could literally go by an organization steps up and says, this is our agenda. And for this one single agenda, which is to challenge the Supreme Court's, you know, the corporation is a human. We are going to march on Washington for this singular agenda. And just like John Stewart brought out like 250,000 people, because everyone was so hungry to show their face.
It was great.
Pick a single thing. Let us have it be organized and let us march on that singular issue. And I think that enormous change can be affected just by seeing our bodies, especially since we're so complacent right now.
Ruthie, I'd be very interested if you would do a little favor for me.
Sure.
Take a couple of days to do a poll. Stand out on the street anywhere you want and ask the first 100 people who pass, what is Citizens United? And
right.
You're going to find deafening silence. In fact,
right.
You might even want to ask them who the Vice President of the United States is and find deafening silence. So how do you create that sense of urgency that you and I share?
We have to simplify things. And I think the same thing that he did with a message of hope or a message of change. Was this the first president to use hope and change? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. And I think even though it sounds cliche when it was said, you know, this achievement was your achievement and all of these things that were said, it was. And just like you say, if you repeat something enough times, give the richest money and it'll trickle down. It doesn't matter that history has proven
yep.
that it didn't work.
Exactly.
This is post-Reagan economics. It's just, but what does work is it's not that they want to believe that. It's that we want to believe something. And if we can just, you know, if that organization, if somebody, if anybody's listening to me, just says, okay, we do have this one focused thing we want to do, and there are people with passionate feelings, whether they're on the left or right or however you want to divide it, if you allow that, if you allow a concept, if you allow a focused agenda,
okay,
I think we will get up and go out, and it can affect change. It's action that we need to take right now.
Gotcha. Ruthie, what do you do for a living?
I'm a web developer.
Well,
I know the internet.
I have to say, you are one smart lady. Thank you so much for calling. Really
Thanks
appreciate
so much.
It.
Yeah, I bye. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Ian in Ghent. Okay, Ian, you're on.
Oh, hi, Alan.
Hey.
So I just want to say, a lot of people don't seem to be reading the history books because right now reminds me a lot of the 1850s. It seems like we've gone back to the golden age of the Know-Nothing Party. People don't seem to... Everyone's kind of burying their head in the sand, Republicans, Democrats, especially the Republicans. They're just kind of sticking their fingers in their ears. They're not paying attention
okay,
to it.
Okay, Ian, let's assume for a second. I'm trying to move it along here. Let's assume that that's right. Now what?
I think we are the most uninformed, powerful electorate in the country.
Okay, let's
world.
Assume that's right. Now what?
We need the same kind of grassroots movement we had 4 years ago with the election for Obama, but we need to take it further this time. We need to strike Citizens United. We need to strike against it. And we need to realize as a people that as long as the corporations can fund the parties, they're going to put the candidates they want. They're going to force it through. And like you said, the lies will begin to be believed.
Go out on night, Route 66. That goes through Ghent, doesn't it? 66?
Yes, it does.
And ask
yes,
the first...
I live on Route 66.
Yeah. And ask the first 100 people, what Citizens United?
No one will know. No one will know. No one will know. I'm a grad student in Boston in my 30s, and most of the people who I go to grad school with who are supposedly part of the educational elite of this country,
yeah.
most of them don't know.
Okay, so I keep looking for answers, and I'm hoping that somebody will call up with the answer. And the question is, how do we achieve that? How do we achieve that sense of we need to do something?
I think it's people like us who are here having this conversation, but we need to have a conversation.
Well, we're
locally.
Talking to each other here. I mean, that's the
yeah.
problem.
We need to be talking to the people.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Ian, I leave you where we found you, and with great gratitude for your call. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Alan.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Brian in Bloomingburg. Okay, Brian, you're on.
Thank you, Alan. It's great
sure.
to talk to you again. I'm a little disappointed that you mentioned the collapse of Occupy earlier in the
I
program.
Knew I was going to get that call. Okay, I want to...
And really...
It's not gone away, right? It's sort of just
hiding. It hasn't gone away at all. Now, there's literally hundreds of groups working under the Occupy name that are doing tremendous things in their communities. And a lot of what they're doing is fighting against illegal foreclosures. They're keeping people in their homes.
Yeah.
But the fact that the media is not showing us what Occupy is doing doesn't mean that Occupy is not doing it. It means that the media has found a new shiny thing to follow, and they're not showing this story anymore.
I hope that you'll go see Woody Allen's new film, the film about Rome, because in fact you raise a very interesting issue that the media always needs some new meat. But I mean, you have to take it on faith. I mean, I've got my ear to the ground. I talk to a lot of people. People call here all the time. I'm
sure.
Pushed for stories. I haven't had one person call from Occupy Albany who said, this is what we're doing.
Well, I don't know that they're that great at publicizing themselves, but I know that they're out there.
They were pretty great when they were out there on the
street.
They were pretty good when they were out there on the street, Brian, publicizing themselves.
Pretty easy to do when you've got tons of cameras crowding around you every day.
Well, it's hard work. I admit that, but you know.
It is hard work, and I can answer your question, by the way. What do we do now?
Okay.
We wait. Because if we keep on trying with the same amount of effort that we're putting forward now, each of us as individuals, all we have to do is wait for that army of college graduates or college dropouts saddled with debt, with no jobs to be able to pay that debt off, to swell our ranks to the point where we will not be able to be ignored.
Okay, now I hear you. I just want you to know I disagree with you.
I
mean,
that's
allowed, right? That's allowed.
Sure.
We can disagree
absolutely.
With each other. You know, I think that back in the old days in the Depression when the certain parties, I don't want to start baiting anybody, were furious at Roosevelt because he was saving the country and they wanted it to get worse so it could get better. And so there could be revolution.
Roosevelt is accused by the right of instituting socialism when what he really did was save capitalism.
Without question.
And we're going down that same road again where the oligarchs are gaining control of more and more. But
okay, Brian, we're coming around for the other side. I want to be fair to Beth and Howard and Dave and Marianne.
Of course.
And give them
a
chance. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah. Take care.
Okay, let's go to Beth in Montgomery. We got to keep it short to give everybody a chance. Go ahead, Beth.
Sure. Just want to tell you, what is it, about 45% of the people pay taxes in the United States?
I don't know.
That's about it.
Yeah. So?
It's less than 50%. And I just feel that if you think that the Republicans will listen to the religious right after they get elected, you're absolutely wrong, because the Democrats don't listen to the fringe liberals.
Okay. I think those are fair remarks.
And also, my third comment, and lastly, is no one ever leaves Washington a poor man. Am I right?
No,
politicians become extremely wealthy.
Well, let's put it this way. If the most generous pension benefits I've ever heard are in the United States Congress.
No. They're wealthy while they're serving because they serve other people than their constituencies.
Beth, thank you.
And you're not going to change that.
Beth, I think you have to try. Thanks, Beth. Appreciate it.
Okay,
let's go to Howard in Delmar. Howard in Delmar, you're on.
Good afternoon. I believe that the powers that be who were created by our so-called founding fathers have divided us to such an extent that we cannot focus. We cannot put our hands or our thoughts about any one particular problem or situation that they will listen to us, because there are so many problems, there are so many complicated problems that they cannot be solved. This country...
What are you saying, Howard?
Our country has gone through going to Washington, D.C., going to Chicago.
No,
we have been arrested. We have been killed. No. We have been done everything else. And guess what? Nothing happened.
Howard, lots of things happened. You had a Civil Rights Act, didn't you?
Well, Civil Rights Act is on paper, yes. That's very nice and very good.
Oh, really? Because I remember
paper.
A time
the
when
the other thing I want to tell you is that the United States at this point is like a patient in a hospital with grave multi-symptom situation. You have one doctor coming and the other doctor coming. They're both incompetent. The difference between one and the other is one of them has had good bedside manners, and that's the Republican Party. They're both incompetent. They both do not have.
Okay, let's go to Dave in Pittsfield. Dave in Pittsfield, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi, and thank you for speaking that way, Dave. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I think the reason a lot of people don't vote, you mentioned how a lot of people don't vote.
Yep, sure.
And that is when they see Congress on TV, how they get they don't get along. There's a lot of this discussion that's, you wouldn't think that they would talk the way they do to one another.
You don't think they don't vote because they're just lazy?
Well, that's a possibility, too. But I think they get discouraged because the way the Republicans and the Democrats, they argue against each other and don't get along. It reminds me of the Crips and the Bloods, or the Mongols and the Hells Angels. They seem like, in order to, they need more people in the Democratic Party, and the Republicans need more Republicans in their party.
Well, that's right. That's why they're doing it. Hey, Dave, thanks you. Thank you very much. I want to try to get everybody in. Appreciate
it. Okay,
bye. Yeah. Okay, let's go to Marianne. Okay, Marianne, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I just wanted to say that I think the most important thing we can do now is not just vote, but work on the election. We got into this mess in 2010 because the Tea Party showed up, and we didn't. And as you said, if all the Democrats voted, Obama would be a shoo-in. So there are plenty of MoveOn.org, the DCCC, the Act Blue. There are lots of groups that, and we have field offices in 50 states. So if we work rather than, you know, we're not going to be able to compete with them money-wise.
Well, I think, in fact, you could compete with them money-wise if everybody gave a little.
Yes, I agree with that, too.
And I think that this is, as I say, it's a real question in my mind as to whether or not huge stories in the papers these days saying that Obama is behind is actually a good thing for Obama, or whether it's just a good thing for Romney because the Democrats will get it dispirited. I don't know the answer to that, but I think you make great sense. Is it Mary Ann or Mariana?
Mariana.
Mariana, thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Alan.
Yeah.
Bye.
Let's go to Laura in Kingston. Laura, you're on.
Hi, Alan. First, I guess I just want to say that ignorance is bliss, and unfortunately, a lot of people don't seem...
Why is ignorance bliss?
Because they're content in the way that they are, and they'll complain and complain for days, but as long as they're not the ones doing the work, they don't seem to matter. A lot of people, I think, in the generation... I'm young. I'm only 26, but I've noticed that people that are below my age don't give a crap except for what the...
Well, you said it. Let's go on.
I said it, so let's go on. Don't seem to give a hoot except for, you know, what they have in life. And I always have this thing that if you don't do something, then you really don't have the right to complain. But in the point of what you mentioned in the show is, you know, with money being the main thing behind this campaign, I mean, the problem that we have is that it shouldn't be the money that's put in that gets who and who elected. It shouldn't be the cost of the campaign.
Laura, you're so right. It shouldn't, but it is.
But it is.
So let's move from there. Go ahead.
Well, my solution then I think would be is that there's a machine in place of misinformation, and the people that run that machine are the people with the money. And honestly, everybody in this country can tell you all about, you know, Tom Cruise's divorce, but they can't tell you about healthcare and in a factual way. And so I think the solution would be for, you know, the other side, I guess you could say, to create their own machine of information and kind of market it almost in the same manner. It's sad that the cover of news on MSN or anything else is entertainment, supposedly, but it's not information. And I think that's where we went wrong. And I think that's how we could fix it.
Now, you say you're 26 years old.
Yes, sir.
I take it you have colleagues, friends who are also 25, 26, 27. How engaged are you finding people to be?
Well, my particular friends, I'm a member of the Ulster County Democrats.
Right.
But honestly, a lot of people will complain and a lot of people will talk about it. Not anybody does anything. Yeah, I've contributed to the Democratic Committee because I believe that, you know, I need to play my part. It's $10 because I work for a nonprofit. That's all I can afford, but it's what I can do. But I don't think enough people are informed enough, and I don't think enough people are willing to contribute.
Laura, dear, I'm so sorry. We have to go.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. You should see all the underwriting, and so therefore I want to get to them. We're just about out of time. Thanks, everybody. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Oblong Books and Music, presenting art critic and author Kay Larson discussing her biography of musician John Cage, Where the Heart Is, Zen Buddhism, and the Inner Lives of Artists. Saturday, July 14th at 7:30 p.m. in Rhinebeck, oblongbooks.com, Smith College Museum of Art, hosting second Friday, July 13th from 4 to 8, hands-on art-making evening from 4 to 6, and a talk by artist Jay Bolotin at 7 o'clock, featuring his current show, The Jackleg Testament. smith.edu/artmuseum and the Albany Marriott, with 359 guest rooms, special event and meeting space with internet access, the Market Restaurant and Martini Lounge, and airport transportation, Facebook, Twitter, and albanymarriott.com. And Bra and Girl, 35 Railroad Street, Great Barrington, and North Street at Crawford Square, Pittsfield, a bra and lingerie boutique for women offering private fittings in sizes from 28A to 52H, braandgirl.com. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us on the Vox Pop. Our engineer has been the incomparable and incredibly meaning, Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Bruce Herbach, also a man of the people. Our producer is Patrick Donges. He's terrific. I'm Alan Chartok. On tomorrow's program, computers with Jake and Dave of TechBridge Group. Stay tuned now, everybody, for a news update, and a very special thank you to everybody who called. The lines were loaded today, and I loved every moment of it. Thanks again.